Welcome back to Kidman Talk. I'm Carl Bastian, and this is your weekly webcast dedicated to equipping and encouraging you in your children's ministry, something I have been fully engaged in for well over 30 years, and I'm only 42. Now, if you're doing the math, that might sound a little impossible, but I got started early thanks to parents and Kidman leaders who didn't believe you had to grow up first to serve the Lord. Now, some would argue I still haven't grown up, but hopefully I have picked up some experience along the way. And this show is all about sharing that experience with you. Now, this week, I've been going through some old photos from those early days, and boy, am I thankful for those who equipped and encouraged me in those early years. Now, my passion is to do the same for others. Now, be sure to follow on Twitter at Kidman Talk so you can be notified when a new show goes live. And interact with me via email, carl@kidmantalk.com. or in the forums so that you can shape the show. Today, I am excited to introduce to you some brand new kids' Christmas music just released and to talk about a powerful word that has the power to change your life when I reveal our Kidman keyword for today. So, with no more delay, let's talk Kidman. Well, with it being the first podcast of December, of course, I've got to start out with a Christmas joke. And my favorite Christmas joke, and it's corny, I'm warning you, if you just want to mute for the next 30 seconds, go ahead. But what does Santa Claus call his children? You ready? Drum roll. Subordinate clauses. Okay, I promise that is the only lame joke I'm going to tell for the whole podcast. But Christmas is definitely here, and it's a great time for fun things. I put two fun links into the show notes, and one is the Digital Nativity. If you haven't seen that, you just need to click on that link. It's a lot of fun. And a new one that popped up this year is What If Mary and Joseph Were on Facebook? What would that look like? And you'll want to click on that. And if you enjoy showing YouTube videos in Children's Church, things that you find online, you will definitely want to check out keepvid.com, because I never throw up YouTube videos in Kids Church, and I also don't even want kids to know it's on YouTube, because they'll go home, they'll fire it up in YouTube. Next thing you know, they're clicking on related links, and the parents come in and they go, "What are you watching?" And they say, "Oh, Pastor Carl told me about this." And next thing you know, you're on a very uncomfortable phone call with a parent, and it's not, you're saying, "I can't control what they click after the thing that I sent them to." So I never show YouTube videos. I never even say that I found it on YouTube. I take the video off of YouTube, and I embed it into my PowerPoint, or I burn a DVD, and I just show the video myself. In fact, often, if I find something neat on the internet, I don't even say I found it on the internet. I just say, here is something, and you just introduce it, because they're going to go home and search for it on the internet, and you can't control what kids do once they're on the internet. And as we know, it can be a very dangerous place. So keepvid.com is what I use. Of course, there's other tools and other sites that do the same thing. If that one eventually disappears, you can use something else. But those are two great ones. And of course, I've got my Toy Box Tales Christmas. It's a download, and it's got five different Playmobil Christmas stories, and then a bonus one that my kids' crew made. In fact, I'm going to give a free download. The first three people who email me, carl@kidmantalk.com, and say, "I want a free copy of the entire Toy Box Tale Christmas," I'll just send it to you, a download link. That's the first three people who email me will get that for free. We'll put a link in the download notes. It's just a couple of dollars. I forget how much it is, but help support Kidology and get that. The kids love it. It's hysterical. And don't take it too seriously, please. One in a million people get offended by it, and I'm sorry about that. The rest think it's hysterical. But have a lot of fun with those links. Also, just a Kidman World update. If you have not been to the new incm.org website, wow, it is amazing. In fact, they have got a new brochure. I downloaded it, and you can get it out of the show notes. And I'll be at both CPCs. I have not missed a CPC since 1995. Every location I go, even when I wasn't speaking, I was there. And in fact, I'm going to link to my YCPC link on my blog that I wrote a few years ago It is the conference. There's lots of great conferences. Go to as many as you can, but if you can only go to one, you go to Children's Pastors Conference. And if you need to take a year off to go to D6 or to go to Orange or to go to some others, that's fine. But it is the premier children's ministry conference. There is no other conference that has everything that CPC has in the resources, in the speakers, in the worship, in the networking, in the number of people that are there. And that is why I don't miss a CPC. Now, I'm not saying everyone has to go to every single one. Obviously, with Kidology and the networking that I do and the finding of resources to share with you and to add to our store, that's why I go. I'm kind of a junkie and I'm just obsessed with CPC. A children's pastor doesn't have to go to every CPC, but you need to go. And if you've never gone, you need to go. You know, I once thought it was too expensive and too big of an investment, and I put it off. And it took a friend of mine to say, Carl, you need to be there. You need to quit making excuses and you need to go. And I went to my first one and I regretted that I hadn't gone sooner because it just knocked my socks off. So you need to go to their website and check it out and go. And I would love to see you there. And I just found out that our Kidology to Go RV is going to be in Florida in time for the Orlando one. So we're going to have a Kidology gathering again, just like we did in San Diego last year. You can hang out with Marty and the Kidology gang at the RV. We're going to figure out where we can park it and all that. And we're going to have a Kidology to Go gathering there in Orlando and just kind of hang out there with Mickey Mouse. And no, I'm not saying Mickey Mouse will be at the RV, okay? We'll try to see if Mickey Mouse will come hang out with us. That would be like the bomb. So we're not promising that, but you know, maybe we can just get Goofy or Chip and Dale or something like that, or maybe we can get Steve Tanner to dress up in a, you know, Minnie Mouse costume or whatever. I don't know. We're working on that, but anyway, it's going to be awesome. But you want to go to incm.org and check that out. But children's ministry workers, we're a unique breed. In fact, we march to the beat of our own drum, don't we? And we're always on the lookout for new resources. Well, recently I was on Twitter and I follow Phil Harris and I found out that he has produced a new CD with the kids at his church and it's called Angels Sing. And he was kind enough to send me a free copy and it is fantastic music. Not only is it Christmas music, but it is great worship music. In fact, I want to give a free copy. First person to tweet me and say, give me a free download of the Angels Sing music, I'm going to send you a free download to this entire CD. And I've got a link in the show notes where you can buy a copy from cdbaby.com and get a copy of this music. But it is wonderful music that his church has put together. And I just want you to listen to it for just a minute. Not the whole song, but check this out. Been one of my favorite Christmas songs, and I just enjoy it so much. But the album is filled with Christmas songs, but like I said, there's also some great worship songs that will just work great in children's church even year around, like this one.
Let us worship, let us sing, hallelujah to the King. Let us praise our voices high.
I love these songs because not only do they sound great, but they're actually singable. A lot of times recorded kids' music sounds great to listen to, but you couldn't actually sing them in kids' church because they're just too complicated, and these are great. And here's just one more really quick off the album just to give you a little bit of taste of how fun the music is, how catchy it is, and you, again, you could totally see your kids singing this music.
Jesus, oh, our wonderful shout. Jesus, Jesus,
And as you can see, it's got a Christmas theme, but it's something that could be sung all year long. Well, I'm happy to make you aware of new things that I discover out there in the world of Kidmen that you can incorporate into your ministry. But it's time to find out what our Kidmen keyword is for the letter I. So with no more further ado, what could it be? Well, I really liked Frank Tan suggesting that it is the little I, because often we emphasize ourselves way too much, and we're supposed to become less, and Christ is supposed to become more. In fact, often I do use in a gospel presentation that the I is the middle of the word sin, because sin is all about us. And that was a great suggestion. And also Tamara suggested that it be the word invest, and I'm going to give her a prize for honorable mention, because we do so much investing in children's ministry. We're investing in kids, investing in our volunteers, investing in leaders, and ultimately we are investing in eternity. And that was a fabulous suggestion. But what we are actually going to talk about is a word that I love. It is a word that I am passionate about. And every year when I start out fresh with my children's church kids, with my team, and I have to make my repeat kids keep their mouths shut because I play a little torturous game with my kids, and I tell them that there is this one word that can change their life, and I torture them by trying to get them to guess what that one word is. In fact, I link in the show notes to a post on Kidology that you can use with your young kids in leadership training, and it's called The One Word That Can Change Your Life, and it actually has a handout that you can use with your kids. And you go through this sheet with your kids, and they keep wanting to guess spiritual words. And I say, what is this one word that will make you soar above the crowd? It's a word that will cause you to be successful in everything that you do. It is a word that will make you rise above the ho-hum life that most people live. It is a word that will make you be chosen for special opportunities before others. In fact, you'll advance faster than most people in life and in work. It's a word that will cause you to enjoy God's abundant blessing on your life. In fact, you'll get better grades than most of your friends. In fact, you'll get better work later on in your life. You'll feel important. You'll feel needed. You'll feel valued. It is a word that will set your life really making a difference in the world. In fact, you'll discover a joy that comes from God, serving Him wholeheartedly. And man, they're going nuts. They're guessing faith, and they're guessing love, and they're guessing all these spiritual words, you know. And so then I let them in on a little secret. It's something that few people discover or learn, and even fewer people develop this in their life. And it's something that will distinguish them from those around them. I tell them, there's this one word you need to know. And that if this one word describes you and it's a part of your daily life, it will transform you and elevate you above all those around you. Not that you're better than them, but that you will discover and benefit from opportunities that they will never see. And so they'll never benefit from them. This one word, I tell them, it will bring success and respect and honor and opportunity. It will even result in rewards both in this life and in the life to come. I tell them, if you will just build this one word into your character, you'll be amazed at the results in the years ahead. It is not the only word that should describe you and your character, but this one word will bring many other positive words into your life as well, if you ask the Lord to develop this one word into your life. It is only one word, but it can make a world of difference. And then I tell them some personal stories in my life of where I used this one word in my life. And I don't try to do it in a way to pump myself up, but to give them real life examples of how this one word changed my life, and to tell them that these same type of things can happen in their life. And I tell them, you know, from my childhood and from when I was their age. But instead of doing that in this podcast, I just want to give you some recent examples, just little ways that this word played out just in the last 2 weeks, okay? I mean, just last week, I was out to eat with my little boy, and we're at Panda Express, okay? And we got our, you know, orange chicken and our rice, and we went over to the soda machine, and lo and behold, there's no lids for the cups. And there's all these people standing around baffled and confused, and you know, it's causing a traffic jam, and everybody's befuddled, and nobody knows what to do because there's no lids. And fortunately, a superhero showed up. It was a Panda Express employee. And so we all turned to him, desperate for help. And we said, "Save us! There's no lids for the cups." And he answered, "I work in the back." All right, well, he was no help. So I went up to the counter, and I said to the nice girl behind the counter, "There's no lids over by the drinks." And so the employee who worked in the back, he had kind of walked back over, and she says to him, "They're under the counter." We walked back, and I kind of said to him, she said, "They're under the counter." And he goes, "Okay." And he looks at me like she had told me they're under the counter. And I kind of thought she told him they're under the counter because, you know, he's the wearing the Panda Express outfit. So everybody's kind of looking around, and we all know they're under the counter now. We're all kind of standing there, and I thought, well, I guess they're under the counter. I'll just get them. So I open the doors under the counter, and there's a bunch of boxes. So I start taking boxes out and opening up the boxes, and sure enough, there's lids in these plastic tubes, and I rip them open, and I restock the lids. And everybody had lids, and they put me up on their shoulders and did a parade around the Panda Express. No, they really didn't. Everyone just kind of took lids, and I was the hero to my little boy because now our cups had lids and straws. They're actually, we needed straws too. And I thought it was kind of crazy, you know, that because he worked in the back, he could not be expected to get lids. Talk about a lack of initiative and being narrow-minded in your job. Hope no one from Panda Express executives are listening to this, because they need to do some training and some team building, some things, at least in that location of Panda Express. But initiative is seeing what needs to be done and doing it. You know, the other thing that happened in the last 2 weeks is I was traveling back to Chicago for a Kidology board meeting and a great time with some of my staff. And while I was going through security at the airport, there was a big bottleneck because, you know, those totes that you put in your belongings to go through the x-ray machine, there was just no totes in our line, and it was causing a big traffic jam, and there were no TSA security people around noticing this. They were busy doing their much appreciated job at other places and stations, but there was nobody there to help, and everyone's standing around, and I'm like 10 people back, and just about 10 feet away is a huge rack of these totes, and I'm looking over there and going, you know, everybody sees them and everybody's looking over there, and I'm not up there yet. If I was, I would have just grabbed them. I'm thinking, is anybody else see the giant supply of totes? And of all these hundreds of people here, at least 40 or 50 here, does nobody else see the solution to the traffic jam? So I set down all my bags, walked over there, got a cart, loaded it up with totes and drove it over and gave it to the people up in front of me and got back where in my line was, and the line began to move. And ironically, it was out again by the time I got up there, and I had to go do the same thing again. But initiative is just seeing a problem, finding a solution, and saying, I'll be the one to solve it. And I thought it was interesting in that situation when people are impatient and frustrated and complaining about the delay, somebody just needs to say, I will be the solution. You see, initiative, I define initiative as just seeing what needs to be done and acting on it without being told. Because everyone in those situations was sitting around saying, it's not my job. Even the employee was saying, it's not my job. I work in the back. And let the customer do it. Everybody in that security line was looking around for a TSA employee to get the totes, and nobody thought it was their job. Was it my job to get the totes? Of course not. But I made it my job because I just wanted to get through the security line. You know, in ministry, there is a need, a desperate need, to be leaders of initiative. There are a lot of things in ministry that are not your job. It's certainly not your job to unclog the toilet. How many of you out there have unclogged the toilet? There are a whole host of things that are not your job. I like to say there are three types of people in the world, and this is not original with me, but I just love it. There are those who make things happen, there are those who watch things happen, and those who say, Well, what just happened? And children's ministry leaders have got to be those who make things happen. Effective children's ministry requires initiative. You have got to be the person whose eyes are open and see what needs to be done. And let me just add, this podcast is not just for leaders, it's for volunteers, because volunteers can be a leader at heart. In children's ministry, we need to band together, not worry about what our job description is, not worry about what our title is, but say there are kids to reach, there are classes to be taught, there are things to be done, and we just need to be humble servants willing to do what needs to be done regardless of who gets the credit. Because remember, our Heavenly Father sees what is done in secret and is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him and serve Him. So let me just give you a couple of descriptions of things that describe people of initiative. All right, they are people who are moving forward when others are standing still. People of initiative are not content with the status quo. They are constantly asking, how can we improve this? How can we move it forward? How can we change this and make it better? When most people are standing still, just waiting for something to happen, waiting for someone else to make it happen. Every great ministry, every invention, everything that you enjoy exists because of someone with initiative. Every computer, every beverage you enjoy, the light bulbs that are illuminating this room, you know, every place that you go, every restaurant, every church was started, everything that you like, name anything you like, somebody with initiative invented it or started it or said there ought to be a blank, and they filled in that blank and you're now enjoying it. And guess what? You can be that person who starts that, invents it, or gets it going, because you can be that person who is moving forward while others are standing still. A person of initiative sees a positive future when others see only negative. You know, people of initiative don't sit around whining and complaining and wringing their hands. They're positive. They're saying, we can fix this. We can do it. All right? They describe a positive future. They're not naysayers. They're saying, this is going to get better. All right? They're not negative. Negative people just drive me crazy. Now, we need to be critical. We need to assess situations. They're not Pollyanna. I mean, we need to be realistic, but they think the future is going to be better. All right? They don't make movies about gloom and doom. All right? They make movies with happy endings. All right? They see what needs to be improved when others are content with how things are. They're constantly saying, how can we make this better? You know, I just bought a book. Here, I got it right here on the counter here. The Klutz Book of Inventions. This thing is hysterical. This was made by people of initiative. I mean, almost nothing in this book will actually ever be made because it's ridiculous. But I love reading it because it's made by people who look at things and say, this is how it should be. This is how it ought to be. This is what could be. And it's an hysterical book because it's made by people who look at things and say, here's how it could be improved. All right. People of initiative are a problem solver when others are simply content to be complaining. All right. People of initiative figure out how to prevent a repeat when others are trying to assign the blame. You know, when things go wrong in the ministry, or wrong in my company, or wrong in my family, you know, too many people want to figure out who's at fault. I'm often saying in the company, you know, I'm not really worried about figuring out whose fault this is. You know, ultimately I'm the boss, so ultimately it's my fault. So I'm not going to even worry or spend energy trying to figure out where the breakdown was or whose fault this was, because the person whose fault it is, they already know it's their fault, and they're just waiting and worried about when people are going to figure out there was their fault. They already know it's their fault. So instead, let's figure out how we can prevent this from happening again. That's what a person of initiative does. They start figuring out how it broke down, what systems or processes we can put in place. to prevent it from happening again, because they don't want that poor person who's already feeling the blame, they don't want them ever to have to feel that again. And so they're trying to already figure out next time, how can we keep this from happening again? All right, a person of initiative notices what is broken, what is ugly, or what is cumbersome when others are blinded by routine. They're just doing it the same old way, the same old way, and they're just content. They're stuck in a rut. And the person of initiative says, this is broken, or this is a pain in the neck, or man, this is ugly, or this is just cumbersome, and they want to improve it, all right? Again, the person of initiative is the first to act when others assume it is someone else's job, like I was talking about with the TSA and with the Panda Express employee, all right? A person of initiative assumes it can be done when others assume it can't be done. That's one of the things I like about Steve Jobs and some of the stories I heard about him, when he was saying it could be done when others assumed it can't be done. And some of the manufacturers that he went to for the glass for the iPhone and things, that they were struggling with the technology and things that couldn't be done. And he went to them and said, it can be done. Keep working on it. I believe you can do it. You're going to change the world. And he did. Okay. A person of initiative says, figure it out as you go, when others insist on all the answers up front before they'll even start. You know, sometimes you just got to jump off the cliff and build your wings on the way down. I know that sounds crazy, and there's some personality types that are cringing when I say that, because they're saying, you know what, you're going to splat. Sometimes you do splat, and sometimes you dust yourself off and you start over. Sometimes you fall, but you get up and you're wiser and you're smarter because of that fall, all right? Person of initiative asks for help or forms partnerships with others instead of getting stuck on proving themselves, all right? Person of initiative says, you know, I can do this, but it's not all about themselves. They ask for help, they form partnerships because they're not stuck on themselves and they're not prideful, because they're all about the big idea and where they're going, and they don't care about getting the credit, they care about their idea. And so they're constantly saying, who can help me with this? Who's better at this than me? You know, who's smarter than me? Who's more creative than me? You know, Kidology is this awesome ministry, and it's impacting so many thousands of people a day in so many countries around the world. And it's not because of me. It is because of this incredible team that I have, and the partnerships I've formed, and the board members I have, and the staff that I have, and the people that I have said, can you help me with this? And the programmers and the contractors and the vendors and all these people who I've gone to and said, man, I got this idea, but I can't do it by myself. I'm not a programmer. I'm not a designer. I can't spell. I can't do this. I can't do that. And I've said to people all throughout the years, there's so many tools out there to help you find what you're good at, and there ought to be more tools helping people find what they stink at. My greatest gift is I figured out early on what I stink at, and I've went out and found people who are good at what I stink at and said, help me where I stink, because I know what I'm good at, and it's a very short list, so I got to surround myself with people who rock where I crumble. And you work together, and people of initiative ask for help and form partnerships and friendships when others get stuck on proving themselves. All right, I'm almost done with my list, and it's all in the show notes. All right, people of initiative see what doesn't exist when others only see what is, or worse, what was. A person of initiative is a person of vision too. They see what doesn't exist, and they bring it into existence by going after it. And lastly, you're gonna kind of laugh if you're already looking at the show notes, make something happen by lunch. That's actually the title of a book that I got years ago. I don't even know if it's in print. You can look on Amazon. But I got this book years ago called Make It Happen by Lunch. People of initiative push things forward, and they don't get overwhelmed by how massive things are, but they say, how can I push this huge thing forward? Is there one phone call I can make, or one email I can send, or one little step that I can make? Is there something I can do by lunch? Is what I like to say. Is there something I can do to push this forward? That's what a person of initiative does. They don't sit around waiting for the person to call them or email them or get something done. They say, how do I push this forward? What's the next baby step? Because if you got a big idea, there's always some little thing that you can do to just push it forward, or if it's far for the distance, to bring it a little closer to you. If it's just jotting a note or opening up your iPad and diagramming a picture or just calling someone really quick and saying, hey, what do you think about this idea I have? What would you think about doing this with me or working on me? Or is this a dumb idea? Or do you think this will fly? And it brings that idea closer. And now I want to just share a couple of verses with you to show that there is some scriptural support for initiative. You know, Philippians 2, 4. Got to look that up. Don't only be looking out for your own interests, but look out for the interests of others. That takes initiative. You're looking out for the interests of others. Thessalonians 5, 6 says, don't be asleep, but be alert and self-controlled. That means you're controlling yourself. All right, you're not waiting for someone else to tell you what to do. You're controlling yourself. You're taking control of your situation. Doesn't mean that you're completely running yourself without God. You're listening to God. You're being controlled by the Holy Spirit, but you're taking some action. All right, you've grown up. You don't have your mom telling you what to do every day. Make your bed, eat your food. You know, I got a little boy and I got to practically tell him to put the fork in his mouth for every bite because he's so distracted by the things in the room and his toys and everything. And he goes to the bathroom. I practice to tell him to put his clothes back on because he's 5 years old and he just gets distracted. He needs his parents to tell him every little thing to do sometimes because he's a kid. But you're a man now, Paul says. It's time to start acting like a man. You're a grown woman. Start acting like a grown woman. All right, be self-controlled. Don't wait for your parents to tell you everything to do. Don't wait for your boss to tell you what to do. Don't wait for those emails and phone calls and your volunteers to remind you. Take some control, God says. Don't be asleep. Come on, be alert. Be self-controlled. James 4, 7, powerful. It says, then they're doing nothing or not doing what you ought to do can actually be a sin. We think of sin as going out and doing bad things. God says, if you don't do what you should be doing, that's also a sin. And my favorite verse, this is the theme verse of my kids' crew, Romans 12, 11, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. We're not supposed to be serving the Lord all ho-hum. We're supposed to be serving the Lord with fervor, like you have a fever, with zeal, all right? Zealots, all right? With spiritual fervor serving the Lord. All right, so my final challenge you, the choice is yours. You can see things and act on it, or you can wait until you're told. You can let circumstances and others direct your life like a ping pong ball, just bouncing around as people and emails and voicemails and bosses and spouses and kids tell you what to do. Or you can allow God to open your eyes and show you what he wants you to do. You can be a person of initiative. You can be a proactive leader, seeing what needs to be done, opening your eyes to the ministry, to the people, to the needs, to the way things ought to be, and then act on that, being a minister, a volunteer, a leader of initiative. You know, I didn't have to do a podcast. No one told me to do a podcast. No one said, sit down in front of your computer every week and encourage people. But I said, you know what? I'm going to take the initiative. And I'm going to take, you know, my passion to equip and encourage others. I'm going to learn how to do this. And I'm going to do it. I'm going to encourage people. I'm going to take a little initiative. And I'm going to invest in the programming. I'm going to invest in the mic. And I'm going to learn how to do GarageBand and all this. I'm going to invest many thousands of dollars in the programming to make it pop up off the screen and everything. You don't know how much went into figuring this all out. That's initiative. Well, what is God asking you to do? What doesn't exist that you can do? I didn't like how the whole iTunes, iPod thing worked. And I said, I think it can be done better. I think it could pop up off the screen. People can listen on any device and they can listen while they surf the site. It didn't exist and it exists now. That's what I'm doing. What doesn't exist that you can make exist in your church, in your ministry, in your family, for your kids, for your wife, for your church, for the world? Dream. All right, you can invent something. All right, I have a poster about Yosemite Summit. I just invented out of thin air a retreat for men in Yosemite once a year to unplug and reconnect with God. I've invented all kinds of things that God gave me, but it took initiative to do it. All right, and I have friends who have done the same things with their ministries. Ryan Frank creating a magazine and saying, I'm going to create K Magazine. And he just did it. That's nuts. It's nuts to do that. But he did it. All right? Someone created Awana, and look at that. Way back in the 50s. And how many millions, it's got to be millions. If not, it's hundreds of thousands of kids been impacted through Awana. Because some guy took the initiative to do that. A church did that. I mean, just think of the ministries that exist and the things that exist because somebody took the initiative. Now, it doesn't have to be big. It can be little. But what is God telling you to do? And are you willing to take the initiative to do it? To start a home school network in your community? To start an evangelistic outreach to your schools? To start an after-school program? To go on the road as a gospel magician? To start a clowning ministry, a balloon ministry, a chalk talk ministry? Whatever it is, what has God wired you for, gifted you for? Do you have the courage to take the initiative to listen to God and to make it happen, to remodel your children's ministry, to build a building, to invent a car? I don't know. To go to the moon? I don't know what it is. I'm not God. I can't tell you. But He can tell you what it is. If you are willing to see something that needs to be done and to act on it and to do it, to be the one that steps out of the crowd and says, no one else will do it, but I'll do it. Why not me? And let me tell you, I'm going through these old photos. You look back at those old photos of me, awkward, lanky guy. I look at those and I say, why in the world did God use me for the things that He's used me for? It wasn't because I had any skill or potential or connections or anything. It was simply because I stepped out and I trusted God, and God responded and said, okay, I'll use you because you're willing to trust me. D.L. Moody, a young man whose Sunday school teacher said, of all my students, he is the one who shows the least potential for the kingdom of God. But what did D.L. Moody write in his journal? The world has yet to see what God can do with a man fully devoted to Him. By God's grace, I'll be that man. So what did D.L. Moody do? He bought the cheapest land he could find in Chicago, an area known then as the Sands, an area devastated by the Chicago fire. It was the slums, and started a school to train students to be ministers of the gospel. It's now the North Shore of Chicago. It's now the Moody Bible Institute. He took street kids and started a Sunday school that's now the Moody Memorial Church, where I was the first children's pastor. There's now all kinds of ministries that have flown out of there, and more and more. I could go on and on and on, because he took the initiative. The Bible is filled with God taking unlikely people with nothing to offer Him but initiative and faith. And God loves taking people like that who are nothing without Him. Because then He gets all the glory. And that is simply awesome. Will you take the initiative to trust God to do something amazing and awesome with your life and with your ministry? I dare you to take a piece of paper and write down something incredible that you would like to see God do in your life and in your ministry. And then start taking the initiative in little ways in your ministry. But don't let that little piece of paper get out of sight. Because as you start to take the initiative in little ways, you'll start to build up the courage to take the initiative in bigger ways. And I think you'll start to get a taste for how awesome it is to do ministry with God. Because I tell you, He's got all the resources and all the connections you will ever need. Well, that wraps up Kidman Talk number 12. Next time, we will be looking at Kidman keyword that starts with the letter J. I hope it's not too obvious. It may not be Jesus. It could be Jesus. He is pretty central to children's ministry. Remember, you can communicate with me, Carl, at KidmanTalk.com, by email, Twitter, KidmanTalk. And as always, I hope you'll interact in the forums where you can shape the show with your questions, your comments, your suggestions. And as a final bonus for listening to the entire show, anyone who emails me or tweets is going to get a full MP3 of Angel Sing's song, Go Tell It. Well, this is Carl the Kidologist signing off. Until next time on Kidmin Talk.